Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Hey, it's Mick Dagger here.
And the General.
And welcome to Beer Army Engaged. We are in our all-new facility. This is the studio's awesome, man.
You like it?
I like it. Do you?
You busted my balls about my bare walls, but you look like you got some bare walls, too, besides this sound-absorbing panels.
Well, yeah, because I spent my time getting the sound-absorbing panels up, but I couldn't put all the stuff that's in that bag right there. I've still got a lot of stuff to bring over.
Especially, and then, of course, our little technical difficulties between every piece of hardware that we have that doesn't want to play nice with each other.
It's the nature of the beast with new stuff, man.
All I know is, between that, I'm so pissed off at you, dude, because I'm head-to-head with you in fantasy football, and you're smoke-checking me, man. I mean, you're just bending me over, smoke-checking.
Total luck.
I know. That's the thing that pisses me off even more. You got Ben Roethlisberger, old Big Ben. I don't think ever in the history of fantasy football have I seen Big Ben put up over 30 points. But this week, you got freaking 30.66 points out of him. I mean, I got Andrew Luck playing tonight, but I got to close the gap. I need him to score like 35 points or something just for me to have a shot. I'm just so pissed off, man. I was like, geez, Louise, man. And then, of course, Sanders from freaking your wide receiver from Denver there, man. He puts up over 20 points. And I'm like,
yeah,
come on, man. I'm like, this shit ain't even fair, you know? It's like, so... 50 points, over 51 points just between two guys for you, man. I was like, son of a bitch.
Well, anyways. Hey, I'm not complaining, but I know I'm lucky. It's not like I planned all this.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like the, remember we talked about the female group, we're getting ready to launch that or whatever, and we were going to use wasps. Well, I guess change 2.5, we're not using wasps, we're going with hornets, because somebody pointed out that wasp stands for white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, which is like an elitist thing or something, and I'm like, are you kidding me? It's like, but we kind of sent that out there to ask people, and a lot of people came back with that, and I'm like, wow. So if a lot of people are identifying with that,
wasn't there a metal band called Wasp?
Well, that too, and then
there was.
And then the early stages before the Air Force, the Army Air Corps, the first women pilots, they called Wasp, which was like women air something. I don't remember what. But
well, people focus on the negative.
Yes, but the problem is you got to think about those things as you're thinking about branding and marketing and all that other crap. But. And then, of course, for those who want to pledge their support, hey, we got the new pledge levels updated and everything. We got to tweak just a couple more, but if you go on there, you'll see the first level's private first class. And if you are a member, by going to beerarmy.org/pledge, you can get all the information. You can start pledging your support because we've migrated off Patreon now. You can get our beer. And that's one of the crate, you know, for an additional cost, obviously. We're not sending you the beer for free, but, you know. Luckily, thanks to FedEx and be able to send the 21-year-old, you know, recipients, and we'll have to stick a little sticker that says 21-year-old, you know, verify ID sign, blah, blah, blah. But, and I know, of course, we're very excited about GABF as we get ready to fly out.
I've been so consumed with this studio, I really haven't thought about it, nor have I even started packing.
Neither have I. I haven't packed anything, and I'm just like... We got all this shit we need to get done within 48 hours because while we'll have phones or computers with us, we're going to be pretty busy to be able to
it's gonna be nonstop.
Do anything. Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, from dusk to dawn and back again. It's like dusk to dawn and dawn to dusk. Phew. But but let's talk about this beer, though. Mm-hmm. So I realized we never featured these guys, which kind of blew me away because they are such a great brewery. And Great Lakes Brewing Company out of Cleveland, Ohio. This is their Edmund Fitzgerald Porter. I consider this a robust porter. I believe if you look at the BJCP guidelines, they list it as a stylistic example robust porter. I was going to say strong porter, robust porter. They on their website say it's 6%. The bottle says 5.8. I usually go by what says on the bottle instead of the website, but... you can get more information about Great Lakes Brewing by going to greatlakesbrewing.com. This beer, it pours a dark brown. It's just black. If you put it up against the light, you get some of those ruby garnets colors along the edges. The head's is a mocha brown. There's some lacing going on. The aromas definitely hit you right away of chocolate and molasses. There are some roast and some coffee notes in there. I even pick up a little nuttiness there, like... Nutty haha.
Just because we're crazy.
Something like that. Flavor similar with that chocolate, molasses, and that roast coming out. And then there are some of those dark fruits again. like dates, raisins, not
yeah.
More really, really dark type fruits like that. It's got a creamy mouthfeel that is medium with the body being the same. I would say the carbonation is low to medium. It's a very good beer to have, with a plethora of hearty foods, especially going into the winter months or the colder months. And when I say hearty, I'm talking things like stews, steaks, stuff that's get caramelized or charred, you know, on the grill or whatever. And it's just a great beer. I know that you've had this a couple times. You're digging it. We've had it up here at the headquarters in the fridge or whatever. I know you've been tearing through it, you know, courtesy of...
I tore through one. If you want to call that tearing through it, I had one.
Thanks to Beer Army Burger Company, where we source all the beer that we can source when we can legally get our hands on in this state. This, you know, I would love to try this beer on nitro. I can only imagine what this beer would be like if it was on nitro. Because, again, that creamy kind of velvety texture. And then as far as, don't take our word for it, this beer is great. It's won 12 times, been a 12-time medal winner at the World Beer Championship since 1991. It's been the world champion. It's taken platinum, gold, and silver medals 12 times now we're talking about. And
that then is so cool.
Another 5 times it was a medal winner at GABF, winning gold and silver medals since 1991. So, again, don't trust us. That's a great beer. You know, those are pretty hardcore beer judges that are saying it's pretty good beer. So, one of the things that I do like, and we're going to talk about the history of the brewery real quick, but if you look at this label artwork, you know, it has the Edmund Fitzgerald, and I know we crack jokes during our In Your Face segment about singing the song or whatever.
Yeah.
In the label artwork, you'll find that the faded freighter's name, handwritten by the ship's first mate, and the number 29 to represent the crew who lost their lives. And it's with great respect that they, you know, that they dedicate this beer, the Edmund Fitzgerald Porter, in their memory or whatever. So, I thought that was pretty cool or whatever. But the history on the brewery, it was founded in 1986 by two Irish brothers, Patrick and Daniel Conway, in Cleveland's Ohio City neighborhood. They hired former Schmidt employees, master brewer Thine Johnson and engineer Charlie Price. Schmidt's was the Cleveland's last operating brewery that kind of went extinct in the early 80s. They started with a 7-barrel system. 7-barrel system. And it's still used to this day in their brew pub. That's to keep continue brewing the brew pub's beers. And they developed beer styles that the brothers enjoyed during their European travels, and then using names to honor their local roots. I mean, they got all kinds of Elliot Ness, because where they're at, that's where Elliot Ness used to frequent, frequently would go to when he was a prohibition officer and everything else. And they got such great character in some of the buildings that they're in. And then the first year that they brewed less than 1,000 beer barrels, and they started hand bottling the next year. And get this, when they hand bottled, the first bottles, again, being capped by hand here, so I'm not talking about manual or semi-automatic. I mean, it was 100% manual. They did it by knocking on the bottle with a screwdriver to get a little foam to come out, and then capping on it so there was no oxygen, you know? I mean, holy smokes, dude. You want to talk about hand bottling, you know? And then in 1992, their first expansion, and then they did again shortly after 1992 to their current production brewery location. And what was really cool is that their current production facility once was the stables and storage facilities for Leonard Schlather Brewing Company. So I thought that was pretty cool, you know, because back then they'd have, you know, horse carriage, you know, just like you see with the Budweiser or the Clydesdales. I mean, that's the way they did stuff back then. And they expanded by hand selling in their maroon station wagon. So these two brothers would go out, and one of their first sales was in Akron, Ohio, as they're starting to get outside and start going in other states. But yeah, hand selling with a maroon station wagon. I thought that was pretty crazy. It's like, if you say station wagons, kids don't even know a station wagon. Like, we hit a garage sale up the other day. Jake was with me, and he saw some Star Wars stuff, and he's like, oh, it's like a box. It was a box set of VHS tapes, right? And I was like, you don't even know what those are. He goes, yeah, they are. It's like a disc you put in. I said, no, dude. These are like big cassette tapes, man. You
know? It's amazing how much technology's changed.
It's nuts, man.
I heard that it's the new generation. It's called plurals.
Plurals?
It's from millennials to plurals, which I don't understand, but that's just what it is.
But to give you an idea, again, less than 1,000 beer barrels the first year. Again, we're talking about 1986. So you fast forward, okay. And in 2010, they passed the 100,000 beer barrel mark. I mean, that's pretty impressive when you think about that. I mean, you're talking about 24 years or what, or no, what did that be? 86, 96. That's, yeah, about 24 years or whatever. And then they, a couple years ago, they celebrated their 25th birthday, obviously. But they're big on green and being, you know, eco-conscious and taking up causes related to those efforts, to include, I thought this was really cool, helping form the largest urban farm in the country. So it's
urban
in the city.
Farm.
Yeah, yeah, where they, you know, whether it's on rooftops or whatever, spaces that are more industrial or, you know, concrete jungle, they create a farm space.
How big is it?
I didn't get the information as far as particular, so I said to myself, road trip, we need to go find out. No, I just thought it was really cool, but...
that is badass.
You know, definitely check them out, greatlakesbrewing.com. I mean, this is one of many great beers. A lot of their beers have meddled. Just very impressive. I know that we'll definitely go check them out while we're out at GABF. I'm sure there'll be a long line at their brewery, but yeah, check them out, man.
Yeah, amid everything else we have to do. sampling beer is kind of, it's bad when that's like your last resort. You're like,
man, we've got all this stuff to do. I got to go drink some beer too.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely hit them up. Great Lakes Brewing Company. This is awesome. The Edmund Fitzgerald handcrafted porter.
And not hand bottled.
No screwdrivers touched.
Knock
the top of this.
But put it on nitro. I want to try that sucker on nitro.
It's absolutely delicious. Get more information in the show notes. You can get linked to it right there on iTunes as well as Stitcher. And if you're listening to us on beerarmy.org, definitely check it out. And stick around. We have our Heroes Never Die coming up. And, man, what an awesome group of people, huh?
Yeah, it's just, you know, I don't know what's going on here in the South with these church shootings and stuff. And this just happened. And, yeah, this pastor in the congregation for taking down a gunman, you know, is just going into a church. It could have been a pretty crazy situation, but they decided not to sit around and, you know, get involved. So we'll talk more about that in the next break or in the next segment.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org. Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at beerarmy.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to beerarmy.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
You know, Dustin, we hit people over the head with beerarmy.org, but it's for a very good reason.
I had somebody ask me, two days ago, they're like, you're working? Because I'm always wearing Beer Army gear. And it's like, actually, I kind of am, you know? And they're like, oh, you've been down to the restaurant? I said, actually, twice today. You know, it's to deal with whatever we have to deal with, so.
beerarmy.org, man. There's, man, not only is a back catalog of Beer Army Engaged up there, but there's just a whole lot of awesome. We talked earlier about the Hornets.
Yeah.
New name.
Yeah, new name.
And we 2.0. Talked about the Hornets and as well, just a bunch of stuff just going on. It's amazing. I love the power that beer has and just the good that surrounds it.
Well, we made the formal announcement last week that we're definitely doing a collaboration project with Sierra Nevada Brewing Company.
Yeah,
very excited, very humble, and appreciative to Brian Grossman and company for willing to do that. And of course, there's other breweries that we plan on doing some collaboration projects with. We also touched base with Double Barley about, you know, give them hell for next year and, you know, and just some of the things, you know, already working those logistics because there's a lot of things. Of course, we got Jolly Skull. It's going to be breathing down our neck before we know it. We got JBF this week. You know, just there's so much that going on. And, of course, the combined federal campaign, so we're very excited about that. And, getting on bases and giving those presentations and, you know, getting people excited and why they should support Beer Army Foundation. So, yeah, just a lot of good stuff. And, again, it's because of all of you that listen that makes it possible for us to do the philanthropy and do the altruism in our communities and support our communities because our communities support you. You are our community.
So, absolutely. That's ultimately the goal is just to do good things.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. There's no secret like, oh, we're trying to take over the world domination or, you know, there's no conspiracy theory here. There's no hidden agenda. What you see is what you get. You know, that's the bottom line.
Well, it's amazing how people will focus on what they perceive as an ulterior motive when the ulterior motive is nothing but good.
Yeah.
You know, if altruism's a...
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's like people look at you like, well, that can't be it. There's always got to be an angle. It's like, no, man. No, there isn't.
There isn't.
There doesn't have to be an angle. We're not politicians.
No. And I'll tell you what, politics gets thrown out the window when everything goes to crap, doesn't it?
Well, if they would drink more beer, I think it wouldn't be so bad.
No, that's true. But, man, there's an awesome story you have for us here that just involves, honestly, when everything just falls apart. Like you said, lame politics goes out the window. It's just about doing what you can to save a situation and generate some good out of it, if it's hard to address and whatnot. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but all I want to say is I'm just blown away by this story. So let's just dive right into it, because in a world that can fall apart in an instant, you never know who's going to step in the gap.
I don't know what's going on down here in the South with the church shootings. I know there's a lot of racist type angles from that. In this situation, mm-hmm. It wasn't racist, but I don't get, like, why don't you have church shootings in Oregon or Montana or something, or New England? It just seems like it's... Do you notice that? I mean, is it just me? Yeah. Or is it just like, I don't know, it's the Southeast seems like to be the only place that we have church shootings in. So this past week... There is a crazy situation where a gunman just opens fires, and, you know, quick thinking by not just the pastor, but by the congregation. And here, just give a listen, though. We got a nice little segment.
A man in Selma, Alabama, is facing three counts of attempted murder after allegedly shooting his girlfriend, one-month-old son, and a pastor inside a church Sunday morning. Witnesses told WSFA James Jr. Minter opened fire at the church on Sunday, but members of the congregation were able to strip him of his gun before he fled. Police arrested Minter about a mile from the church. A 61-year-old pastor was injured in the shooting when he allegedly tried to wrestle the gun away from Minter. The Dallas County District Attorney applauded the pastor's efforts, calling him a good Samaritan and saying he probably prevented a lot more shooting. Police say a dispute over visitation as well as ongoing domestic violence could have been a motive for the shooting. All three victims are now in stable condition. If convicted, Minter faces 10 years to life in prison.
Well, rightfully so for those actions.
Yeah.
Child custody and ongoing domestic violence?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm assuming he was the aggressor.
Yeah. I apologize, first of all, for not finding a better recording. This was covered by NBC, ABC. It's like a big news story, and I anticipate as this week progresses, that's going to become bigger, but nobody had any decent coverage on it. So I found it on AOL, where the reporter, and it seemed very nasal, but it was the best recording I could find to cover. It's
probably
a
print journalist they put in front of a camera.
So what we have is, this is happening in Selma, Alabama. The name of the church was the Oasis Tabernacle. And basically, the suspect, I guess, is what, because everybody's innocent until proven guilty, even though everybody saw him shoot people, is a 26-year-old James Jr. Minter. And he came in to church. I mean, let me lay it back out for you. He walks in on Sunday morning. He sits down between his girlfriend and their infant son in the front row and then just pulls out a handgun and starts opening fire.
Oh, my God.
So the pastor in this at the church was 61-year-old. Where was his name at? Jeez, I lost his name. Pastor Earl Carswell. So Pastor Earl Carswell, 61 years old, goes after him to reach for it, but not before he shoots his girlfriend in the shoulder and the jaw, and then shoots the one-month-old in the hand. And then while Pastor Carswell was struggling with them, he shot him in the leg. And he got the gun away from him. And, of course, other church members of the congregation jumped in. He basically escaped out of the church, which I don't understand how, per se, but he was later collected up, you know, and detained by police.
Yeah,
and that's my Lieutenant Curtis Mahanan of the Selma Police Department. He's saying, you know, there were several heroes in there, because it takes a lot when you have someone with a firearm that's actually firing upon a person in a close quarters area. You know, it's not like the movies or something. It's, you know, he goes, and you do whatever you can with regards to your own life, let alone to protect somebody else's life.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what we've always talked about, you know, that fight or flight response. And so, you know, I don't have any of the other names besides the pastor. We don't have any other congregation members' names, but definitely. And the good news is that they're all making recoveries, and they're not in a critical condition. The one-month-old and the 24-year-old girlfriend and then the 60-year-old pastor. So they're all, it looks like they're going to make recoveries. But yeah, I hope this guy goes away for a long time.
I just don't understand what brings people to that choice. I just don't get it. I don't think I ever want to, quite honestly.
Well, it's where does the train, well, obviously that's the problem. The thought process doesn't happen, because if you thought it through, like, okay, I'm so pissed off, I'm going to go shoot somebody. That's not going to help your situation. It's just not. Whatever your situation is, it just is not. It just isn't going to. But that's the thing is, people don't think rationally when they're being irrational, obviously. That's why you call them irrational.
Yeah, you can't rationalize with an irrational mind. Not at all.
Yeah.
But just this, the violence against innocence, that's the thing that blows my mind. Just absolutely.
But then the other thing, too, is the detectives were working on a child visitation and domestic violence as possible motives. But regardless, so you can't see your kid, so you're going to shoot your kid? You see what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, that's where I'm like, I don't follow that. I could see shooting your girlfriend because you feel like she's the one that's keeping you from seeing your son or whatever, but I don't know, man. I don't know.
He doesn't really mean that.
I mean, he was captured, you know, less than a mile away from the church, you know, and that's the other thing. I always get a kick out of. Arrested on suspicion of 3 counts of attempted murder. Suspicion? You have all these eyewitnesses that saw him shoot it, so how is there suspicion or alleged? I just find that ironic all the time when we do that.
What blows my mind is we live in a day and age where people will walk on eggshells around those that
not to be offensive
that are evil, violent, and everything else. But people that aren't, they'll be quick to accuse.
Yeah,
you could have an upstanding person, and there's none of this allegedly suspected, none of this stuff. I mean, they're so quick to accuse, but then somebody who's obviously of a criminal mindset, violent nature, and evil, they get the benefit of the doubt all of a sudden?
I don't
Blows
get it.
Blows my mind.
Yeah, it just alleged. There's suspicion. Oh, geez. Yeah, love it, man.
Why do I have Elvis in my head?
We can't go on together. We're suspicious minds. We can't build our dreams. Hey, so what
you
do you
want to finish that? Or
no, I don't. I'm not even going to touch that. I just want to move along. I just want to move along to the next segment because I know that
you don't even like my Elvis.
You had a great story that we never got to in the last week's show, and I definitely want to make sure we feature it. So,
you don't like my Elvis.
I don't. I didn't say I don't like your Elvis.
Yeah, last week we weren't able to get to the story of the couple that had sex, drunk sex in public in a parking lot, and then decided to go on the television news and explain themselves.
You love it.
Yekum Tassou's coming up. Keep your seats here.
Hey, mothers, lock up your daughters. It's Mick Dagger and the General.
Wow. Better than last week.
Wowie, Maui.
Never thought of a burp that way.
Very tropical, isn't that? Reminds me of the islands, man. Deep and rich and full of life.
Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to beerarmy.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org.
Beer Army Engaged.
Time to get your giggle on.
Giggles.
Yeah, there's a very assertive word. Giggle.
Giggle alert. Giggle alert.
Hey, who's ready to giggle? I'm going to reach through the speakers in your ears and tickle those eardrums with some laughs. Because you're going to giggle.
Wow, that just happened, folks.
Yeah, whatever. Such a weird word, giggle.
Giggle.
Well, here on a Beer Army Engaged, we love to laugh because there's plenty of insanity in this world that could try to keep you from a little bit of levity. But this is the point of the show where we highlight it. Even though it may be through insanity, and sometimes we do get a little riled up and frustrated, but regardless, there's just some stuff in the world you can't make up. So let's Yekum Tassou. Hey, Dustin.
Yeah?
You ever have sex in public?
Sex in public? I'm sure making out on the beach and stuff like that would be...
That's PDA. That's public display of affection. I'm talking straight up sex.
Just, I don't know.
I don't care who's watching. I'm going to go Jersey Shore and get it in.
Jersey Shore. I'm going to go for the promised land.
So the answer is no, then.
I don't think...
Or you don't want to admit it.
I don't think anything that I have done would categorize as sex in public, I guess.
Yeah, well, neither... I've never had sex in public either. But there's a couple out of Virginia that were drunk and decided to
make good decisions.
Have sex in broad daylight in the middle of a parking lot, laying down on the concrete.
On the concrete. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Forget about the rug burns. Get some asphalt in your ass.
And they were caught. They were charged with, of course, you know, public indecency.
So did a cop catch them? Or?
Well, they were arrested, yeah.
Wow.
They were charged. And then they decided to go on local news, WTKR, in Hampton Roads, Virginia, talk to this couple about their arrest and his passing out and she having her way with him. And this is what they had to say.
Something like this going to happen again?
No.
I don't know.
For couple Kimberly Jackson and Earl Palmer, there's no guarantee they'll hold back from this the next time the moment is right.
But everyone wants to be spontaneous. Not being disrespectful to you, have you ever been spontaneous?
Not that spontaneous.
Okay, but you see my point.
2 days ago, Jackson was arrested and charged with drunk in public. Police say Palmer was unconscious while the two were doing, well, what couples do in the middle of this parking lot.
I consented.
In the beginning.
In the beginning, I consented at all. But I had a little too much to drink, so I passed out.
So he's passed out.
She Cosby'd him.
With a surfboard. And she decided to go hang 10.
He's like, you ever been spontaneous?
He's like, look, man, you ain't ever seen the blue pill commercials? Sometimes the moment's right.
I love how she was so certain. She's like, no, this is never happening again. And then they turn to him right after she says that. And he's like, I don't know.
If I pass out again.
Well, it won't be with her.
Wow.
I just can't believe it.
Yeah. No, that's good stuff, man.
You just totally justified it. Yeah.
Mm. Not to be rude, but have you ever been spontaneous? Well, you see my point. I don't know if she wants to see your point, dude.
It just reminds me of the Beatles' White Album. You ever listen to that?
I've listened to Beatles. I don't know which album.
There's a song off of the White Album that has the lyric, why don't we just do it in the road?
Well, that's why.
So apparently he's a fan of the Beatles.
Nice, nice, nice.
Because he's spontaneous.
Well, I'll tell you who I'm a fan of. Ooh. I am a fan of Richard Sherman. And if you're a Seahawks fan, I'm sure you know who Richard Sherman is. But if you don't, actually, I don't like Richard Sherman because he's so damn good in the NFL. I wish if he was on the Panthers team, I'd be happy. But
well, when they beat the Broncos in the Super Bowl a few years ago, yeah. Right, the first one, I couldn't stand him.
Yeah,
he was came across so arrogant, so cocky. He'd been in the news all up to that front, just claiming, I'm the greatest thing.
Yeah, talking shit. Yeah,
but. Ever since then, he's said some things and done some things. I'm like, I gotta give this guy a little respect.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you know that's exactly where I'm getting at. And he addressed the media here this past week on Black Lives Matter on that whole situation, and it was really refreshing, in my opinion, to hear somebody speak intelligently from their point of view on why, what their position is on it. Yeah. And, of course, he's a black man, so I feel like he can definitely speak upon it. You know, you can't discredit it, even though after he said what he says here, and we're going to play a little excerpt, people start criticizing him and everything. But and I don't understand how, but why don't we play it first, and then we can beat this up.
As a black man, I do understand that Black Lives Matter. Dealt with a best friend getting killed, and it was two 35-year-old black men, you know, and wasn't no police officer involved, wasn't anybody else involved, and I didn't hear anybody shouting Black Lives Matter then. If Black Lives Matter, then they should matter all the time.
It matters all
He's
the
right.
time. No.
He's
and,
right.
I mean, we just played a small thing, but if you watch the whole thing or read the article that's going about is there was this article that was published about with King Noble. And
that's the guy that's behind Black Lives Matter and the F your flag.
Right, whatever. Right. And, he's saying, like, look, I did not write that article. He goes, a lot of people sent it over to him during the weekend to read or whatever. And he thought during the after-game interview was best place to address it or whatever because the reporters are bringing it up, obviously. They're always trying to get sound bites. They're always trying to get some juicy, salacious, stuff.
You missed, I think one of the things you left out of there was that this King Noble posted a meme of, I think it was Marshawn Lynch and Richard Sherman together and was using it kind of as a...
Yeah,
with some sort of text or something on it supporting his movement. And that's when Richard Sherman decided to address this.
The thing that I really thought was cool about it is he's saying, well, first of all, he's saying, look, calling out, he goes, I don't think there's any time is the right time for calling out and shouting out all out war with the police. You know, yeah. I don't care what the situation is. You know, he's basically saying that, you know, so that's point one. You don't call all arms and let's start a war with police, regardless of what the situation is, you know. So one, you know, big, my hat's off to you there. Then he goes on to saying about, again, it matters all the time. He's saying that we need to solve problems within, you know, when he's saying the inner neighborhoods, basically I'm assuming he's talking about black neighborhoods. You know, he talked about, you know, if you're living in the hood, you know, so to me he's talking about black neighborhoods. And he's talking about a specific issue or an incident where he had, you know, two friends, you know, were killing each other, two 35-year-old black men, and one of them killed his friend or whatever. Where was everybody up in arms then?
Yeah.
You know, so what we're saying is black lives matter only when police are involved shooting people. Black lives don't matter when blacks on blacks are victimizing each other. You know, and I think that's, he brings home a very good point. He's saying, you know, before we even think about addressing that issue, how about we address the issue as it stands right now without even cops in the situation? Because there's a lot more black people getting killed at the hands of other black people than there is cops and black people. But he also goes on. So that's my second point. I was like, good to go. And then the third one, he's looking at it very rational. He's like, look, man, I don't think all cops are bad, but there are bad cops, and those bad cops should be dealt with accordingly, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the third point. I just, the way he kind of methodically threw it out there, but he wasn't all political and pundit about it and just, you know, well-rehearsed. He just kind of threw it out there, but it was three good points in succession that made sense and it flowed. I guess that's what I thought was very, made me just have a lot of respect for him. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. Just, I got a lot of respect for the guy, man.
Right. I mean, objectivity casts a shadow on the subjective. I mean, and it's one of the things. It's so easy to point at a foreign source and an alien source, something that's not from your environment,
sure,
as a root of evil.
Yeah.
It's so easy to do that because, well, I might ruffle some feathers because it's easy to do that because it's easy to shirk responsibility for.
Yeah.
Your own situation.
I totally think. I mean, if you live in those neighborhoods and you know that black on black crime's happening, but then you're sitting around and running around and you're not going to, will it, you know, get on and bitch about that to the level that they are with Black Lives Matter, but then you are now with this, to me, that's, you want to talk about, I mean, what's the word I'm looking for? Just hypocritical, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to say hypocrite, but it's like oxymoronic, man. It's like, how, so you're okay seeing two black guys kill each other in your streets, but if a cop shot a black guy in your street, you're up in freaking arms, you know? Yeah. It's like, what the hell, man?
A lot of people don't realize Richard Sherman came from a challenge to
he talks about that too, and, you know.
And yeah, he's very well spoken.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I was very impressed. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed, so.
Yeah, I got mad respect for the guy. I really do.
Yeah.
And but I'll tell you what, we went from public sex to a valid point in the state of society right now to, I can't believe these things happen in any society in the world. China.
Oh, I love China.
You don't have an iPhone. I have an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a desire to get an iPhone?
No, especially after I see Matt Smith and he smacks his around because it keeps freezing up. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I got to get to the Apple Store, man. I don't know. Something. It keeps, and he smacks and I'm like, dude, what are you doing, man? Because it's something, I don't know, some sensor. I don't know. I don't know, dude. I don't know.
I've had two of them. I haven't had an issue with either of them. But a lot of people want them.
Okay.
You excluded.
Yeah, I don't want one.
And in China, apparently people want them really badly.
Okay.
That's where they're made, right?
Yeah. How hard is it?
Well, a Chinese sperm bank is attempting to draw in donors with the promise of funds for one of the countries, you know, for an iPhone.
So you give sperm, you get an iPhone, basically?
Yeah, the iPhone 6S, the new one. It's this hospital, Renji Hospital in Shanghai, is advertising online that donors who pass the health examination and make regular sperm donations can earn up to $940. Which is more than enough to cover the cost of an iPhone 6S.
Is that like, when you say regularly, over a course of a year, over a month? I mean, because holy crap, if that's only a month, yeah, that's some good money. I'm just curious.
Depends on how many times you want to frequent the place, I guess.
They have really good magazines.
Frequent and get your freak on.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the kicker here is, this is a quote.
Yeah.
This is a quote from this hospital. No need to sell your kidneys. You can easily have a 6S just by donating your sperm. Yeah.
Nice.
Hey, for those of you thinking of selling a kidney for a phone, why not just jerk off?
Just jerk off. Jerk off to success.
But the thing that gets me is, you know, we hear of all these, you know, manufacturing being shipped overseas because labor is so much cheaper. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's child labor laws human rights violations due to manufacturing and all this other stuff. And China, we know, is a country that...
I would say definitely shirks it.
Yes. So, why can't they just get their kids to make them one?
I don't know. I don't know, man. That's good stuff, though. Speaking of kids, though, that's a nice segue into our next segment. We've talked about this whole American flag, Confederate flag. If you remember, it seemed like we had a couple of past episodes where we had articles about the Confederate flag. My bad. I didn't mean to say flag. Confederate flag.
You're feeling flaggy.
I'm feeling flaggy. Confederate flag and about the whole issue around that, you know, which is a whole nother, and that kind of segues into the whole Black Lives Matter. But remember we had that one about the school saying that they're banning any American flags? And that was in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I believe it was. Or maybe it was Knoxville. I can't remember which of the two.
It was Tennessee.
I remember it was Tennessee, but remember that and how ironic that was? It was like, really? And there's other ways to show your patriotism? Well, I got another one for you. So down in North Texas, another student, he was punished for wearing the American flag. Can you believe that?
I don't get this crap.
Just give this a listen here, because you're like, what is going on?
Shelly Good says her son Jagger does his best to follow the rules. A junior at Segaville High School, he's passionate about ROTC, hoping to earn a scholarship through the program.
He wants to go to the military. He wants to help people, and any bad marks doesn't look good.
But Monday...
This is the outer shirt that he was wearing.
Shelly says an administrator asked Jagger to lift his hoodie.
Underneath that shirt, he was wearing this shirt.
And when he did, he was sent to ISS. Segaville High School does not require uniforms, just that students wear solid color shirts. The only exceptions are made for school and college logos or shirts supporting the military.
Why doesn't that count?
I have no idea. I would like that answer.
Shelly, who works the night shift at a hospital, lost sleep driving to school, only to have the assistant principal stand by the punishment.
If he was breaking the rules, he would be punished, and he would have to honor whatever they give him, but he wasn't, and I have to stand by him for that.
Wow. just so everybody knows, it was an American flag with an eagle over the top of it.
So,
and that is, you know,
if you watch the video, the kid is very proud of being his ROTC uniform. Obviously the mother is I would definitely say blue collar, hardworking mother, just trying to get her and, you know, her son, Jagger, you know, ahead in life, just doing all the right things. And she's saying, you know, this is a mark, you know, in school suspension. Because, you know, as the wars wind down, recruiting, it's harder to get in because they start raising the standard and everything else like that. But, you know, it just blows me away. Because, one, he was wearing underneath the hoodie. So for the school official to ask, lift your hoodie. Well, isn't that kind of like a legal search and seizure if you really want to get stupid? I don't know. But it's like, and then you're going to send somebody straight to ISS. It wasn't a ratted, tatted up shirt. It was kind of like a faded, you know. Mm-hmm. But how is that? I just don't get it. But you can support the military, right?
You can have a shirt that supports the military, but an American flag with an eagle on it. Just, wow.
But if you go to play this later on, she finally, even after she went in there, was told, she finally gets a hold of the principal again, and then after this
when
thing,
the news crew was interviewing her, the principal called her.
Yeah.
So his apology had nothing to do with the fact that he realized he was wrong. It had everything to do with negative publicity.
Yeah. I don't know.
That pisses me off even more. You know, when somebody's back into a corner, and then they all of a sudden decide to apologize. There's nothing heartfelt about it. They're just as fucked up as they were at the start.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
I'll tell you what you want to hear, just so I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Just so this doesn't go any farther.
I was just like, wow. It's like, when does the madness stop?
It obviously doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, the Marine Corps logo is an eagle.
Yeah.
Prominent eagle with a globe and anchor behind it.
Yeah, exactly. You just need the globe and the anchor. I guess you'd be okay. You know,
I'm sorry, there's only an American flag behind your eagle.
General patriotism is not allowed. Yeah. But if you support the military,
it has to be very niche specific. And specified. Yeah.
Solid colored shirts with college logos.
You know, you can't just embrace the whole country as a whole. You've got to pick a side. You've got to choose.
But, yeah, I don't get it. I just don't get it. But luckily, you know, Jagger, was able to continue on. They're not going to in-school suspend him. I hope nothing but, you know, big things and great success. And unfortunate for Shelley Good, his mother, to have to deal with that bullshit, you know.
There's no need for that.
Anyways.
Oh, man. Wow. Well, we'll be back next week with a nice summary of our trip out to GABF.
Yeah, probably have to have like a special edition. I don't know, man. We might not be able to get to anything.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I'm really excited.
My hero was Mick when he dragged me out of the Star Bar alive. Yeah, like, okay. Just one more beer.
Yeah,
one
that's
more
me.
Beer.
Mm-hmm. You know it. Well, make sure that you do check out the back catalog and catch us next week. We will have a recap, and who knows, man. It's just going to be a great time.
Also, pledge your support. Go to beerarmy.org/pledge. Select a pledge level and get involved. Get off the sidelines of life and get involved to help us out.
Absolutely. In the meantime,
rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.